Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, let's make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy. And for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this short confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
For zeal for your house has consumed me. Deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let not the flood sweep over me, or the deep swallow me up. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good.
According to your abundant mercy, turn to me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. For the zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me. Have mercy upon us, Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, whose glory is always to have mercy, be gracious to all who have gone astray from your ways, and bring them again with penitent hearts and steadfast faith, to embrace and hold fast the unchangeable truth of your word. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first reading for this morning, the third Sunday in Lent, is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land of the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. The epistle reading for this morning is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God, through wisdom it pleased God through the folly of that which we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. That's your cue.
Yeah.
Glory be to thee, O Lord. The Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there. And making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of trade. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house will consume me. So the Jews said to him, what sign do you show us for doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. The Jews then said, it has taken 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking about the temple of his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let us join together in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, in the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. It's not the picture we're used to seeing of Jesus, the one where Jesus seems like a hothead. I mean, it's so out of character. We don't see him do this. But he does it, doesn't he? He gets angry. He makes a homemade whip out of some rope and he goes into the temple and he just begins, you know, accusing those people who were selling and exchanging money, the Roman money, for the temple money, because the Roman money couldn't be used in the temple. But he's upset and he drives them out. It's not the picture we're used to seeing of Jesus. We're used to seeing Jesus being very calm. We remember how he was calm in the head of the bow of the boat and sleeping on a pillow, and the storm is just tossing and turning this little boat all over the place, and the disciples are certain they're about to die. And they said, "Don't you care? You're sleeping. How can you be sleeping?" That's the Jesus we think about, the one that's calm in all situations, the one who's merciful in his preaching and merciful in his conversations with others, even with those who are at times trying to find some way to trick him. He always has his heart out there for others. And when you keep that in mind, and you keep in mind what was going on in the temple, I guess it's not really out of character for him. Because he does love his people. He loves those who have been rejected by the leaders of Israel, by the religious leaders who have told them they have no place in God's kingdom because of their life and how they're living it apart from God. Matthew wasn't someone who was looked on with a lot of favor by his fellow countrymen. They looked on him as kind of a betrayer, I suppose, because, yeah, he was an entrepreneur, but he was making money off of his kinsmen's backs, in a sense. Yeah, he collected a tax that was due, but he made his own price for what he got, and that was the way tax collectors were. People didn't think they had a place in God's kingdom, and then there's the prostitutes. Jesus forgave the one prostitute. Said, "Let who has not sinned, let that person cast the first stone." Who here is without sin? Jesus accepted her. He told her that day, that one prostitute, "Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Your life has been changed, radically changed, because of that forgiveness that God has given to her." And she becomes a follower. Jesus is always looking out for those who have been cast aside. The widows, the orphaned, the blind, the lame, the deaf, the mute, the dying, and those who have died. He shows his mercy and his love in all the actions that he does in restoring health, life, limb, sight, hearing. He shows himself to be none other than God. And now God has, in a sense, we could say, I suppose, has entered his temple. But in truth, he had already entered a new kind of temple than the one made with hands. David wanted to build a temple, but God said, "You know, I don't need a temple for you to build me a temple. I've been just fine. I'm among the people." He resided in a tent. That upset David. He said, "Okay, one of your descendants will build the temple. Well, Solomon built a physical temple where the people could come and make sacrifice to God, and where God would continue to sit on his throne in the tabernacle, on the tabernacle in the Holy of Holies. But that really wasn't the temple that God was telling David about. That temple would be one of David's descendants who would have an eternal throne. That person we know is Jesus. God tabernacled in Jesus when he became man. That is, when he became flesh and blood, the Godhead was in Jesus, because he is the Son of God. So he dwelt in human form among his people and walked among them. And when he walked into that place where people came to look for forgiveness, where people came to see what God might tell them, whether it be through a priest, a prophet, a vision sometimes, and that would happen in the temple. Remember Jesus when he was presented in the temple, and he received, the parents received that message about this child will be great because he will be, many will fall and others will perish, and many will be saved. This is the one who comes into his temple and is angry. Maybe the events actually have something to contribute to that. I mean, this is Jesus' final time to be in the temple. And he's there with his disciples. He's not far from going to the cross. It's a lot of stuff going on, and a lot of stuff that is weighing heavily on the heart of Jesus. And maybe it's partly frustration too, because people just were not receiving him perhaps as the Savior that he came to be. They weren't seeing him for who he is, the Son of God. This is a temple that was built in his name, that was built for his glory, that was a place that the people gathered, not just Jewish people, but Gentiles as well would come to learn and to know of God, to worship him, to pray. Now, I've read somewhere, it's been a long time, but the area where the money changers was that area that was the court of the Gentiles. Jesus always had an evangelistic heart, if you want to say it that way. You know, he always was looking beyond the borders of Israel, the borders of Jerusalem, beyond Judah to the outside world, to Rome and Greece, to Ethiopia, to other places throughout the world, because that's where he sent his disciples after he ascended into heaven. Those are the places that were close to his heart as well, because he came not just for the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. And God's house was to have been a symbol of that as much as anything else, that God is for all people. So he makes a whip. He drives them out. The Jews become upset and they say, "What sign do you give us for authority that you have to do this?" And Jesus says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." It's taken decades. It's taken 46 years to build this temple. In fact, it wasn't even complete then. It's taken 46 years and you're going to rebuild it in 3 days. But they're not hearing, they're not understanding, and even the disciples didn't catch it right away. Because we are told that the temple that Jesus was speaking about was his body. When therefore he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this. And they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. Jesus is the temple. Jesus is the place where God was residing among his people, not in the temple made with hands, but the one in which God fashioned himself. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. And he came and he dwelt among his people. And he spoke with love and mercy about the kingdom of God. He was welcoming of all. He uplifted those who did things or spoke things that were marks of true faith, whether they were Jew or Gentile. He came to die for the whole world, and he would do so silently. He would stand before his accusers and not say a word. He would suffer under the hands of another scourging that took place, but it was one that was not out of ropes that were fashioned into a whip, but out of a whip of the Roman soldiers, with cruelty, they tore into his flesh. Isaiah says, by his stripes we are healed. Jesus did all of this for us. He went to the cross for us, that which would become the foolishness of God. Who would have ever thought that God, who is so powerful, could also die? And yet, when he became man and dwelt among us, proclaiming the gospel, proclaiming the kingdom of heaven, he was able to, because he was true man as well as true God. Tear this temple down, and I will raise it up in 3 days. And he did. And that's good news for us, because in our baptism we are joined with Christ. We receive God in us and we are guided by him. Because of our confession, because of the faith we have in Jesus and our confession that we speak from our lips to anyone who would listen to us, we know we are God's children. We know it because God leads us and directs our lives. We have the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ, because Christ dwells within us. You and I have become his temple. And one day, out of some perhaps natural cause, or maybe violently, our lives are taken away from us in this temple that Christ now dwells in, yours, mine. When that happens, we have nothing to fear, for Christ, who was raised to life again, has promised us that we will be raised and we will have new temples, new bodies that will be like his own glorious body. You are that temple now. I am God's temple. We gather here to worship, but this building is not God's temple. God dwells in each of us. We move ahead with the promise that God has made, and with thanksgiving that He has done this for us. Not because we deserved it, not because there's anything lovable about us, but because of who He is. He came and died and was raised to life. God in Christ showed His authority when He spoke these words and He drove these money lenders out. By what authority? By His own, we might say, His authority as the Son of God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please rise as the offerings are brought forward. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, our jealous God, save the third and fourth generations that will come after us from your punishment by filling us with your Son's zeal for your house in these Lenten days, that we may cast out every idol from our hearts and love only you and your commandments. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord our God, you have brought us out of slavery to sin through Jesus Christ, whom you have made to be our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Bless all those whom you send to preach Christ crucified to us, that we may ever know and live in the truth of your power in his cross. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, preserve and bless all Christian households, that husbands and wives would live in love and service to each other, that fathers and mothers would diligently bring up their children in your fear, and that children would honor their parents and be well equipped for service to their neighbors in this life. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord of the perfect law, you have called us to honor our parents and all other authorities, that it might go well with us in our land. Bless our leaders and all those who watch over and govern us in your stead. Make them wise in your ways, that your justice may be upheld among us, and help us to serve and obey them in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy. O God, whose steadfast love in Christ is good, turn in your abundant mercy to all who suffer in our midst. Especially we lift up to you this day Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Larry Foltz, Peggy Spitzenberger, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Havman, Pat Bias, Robert and Donna Knopf, Wilfred Defoe, and Carl and Jackie Rush. That the flood may not sweep over them, nor the pit close its mouth on them, deliver them from sinking into the mire and deep waters, and grant them healing, comfort, and peace. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, you bless this day and make it holy with your word and the gifts of your altar. Grant us to come before you in humble repentance, to eat your Son's body and blood, that we may not boast in ourselves in your presence, but in Christ alone. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our rock and redeemer, as 3 days after the temple of your son's body was destroyed by wicked men, he raised it up again. Grant that on the last day we and all the saints who now rest in your presence may share in the glory of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Amen. Please be seated. We'll join in singing hymn 426. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given.